This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day in West Texas.
Of course, every Saturday is a beautiful day because Saturdays are special. You get to get up and spend time with your family and friends. You do the things you couldn't do during the week, sleep in a little bit, enjoy yourself.
Do people eat donuts on Saturday morning?
I eat donuts every chance I can.
I thought that. You know, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
You know, they sneak over to the donut shop, mm-hmm. You know, where nobody will know. They just had 1,000 calories.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little sugar here and there.
Well, yeah, you have to sneak because if you go off and you have your donuts and nobody sees it, it doesn't count.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, those are the rules.
Okay, well, it is important. I know my grandchildren are always saying, can we just run by the donut shop? And I go, no, we can't have all that sugar.
No, that's a lot of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar, and you shouldn't do it too often, but yeah. Once in a while is good.
Once in a while, boy, there's nothing like sitting down with a couple of boxes of donuts and just going to town.
You know, I did. I went in the donut shop one day, and there was a man, had about 9 of them, and he was going to eat all of them.
Really?
All by himself.
In one sitting?
In one sitting. I watched him. He's just sitting there eating them.
I'd love to try that, but boy, I think I'd get sick.
I think anybody would. Wow. And maybe he was low on sugar. I mean, there was some reason, surely, that he was going to eat all those by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of sugar. Can you imagine how much?
Yeah, I would probably fall on the floor and pass out.
I think most people would.
Yeah.
I mean, one donut with sugar would be plenty.
Yeah, but there's nothing like feeling a nice, warm, fresh donut melt in your mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
9, I'm not quite so sure.
Yes, 9 might be going a little too far.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find case studies, data from past investments. You can read all about testimonials. And this is all about growing your money so that you can retire wealthy, healthy, safely, and early.
And early. That's what everybody wants to do. I mean, can you imagine how many people there is that are retiring at 59 or 60?
I don't know enough.
You don't know enough of them doing that, right?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't happen to everybody. Not everybody can do it.
Right. But I still see people struggling, you know, into their 60s, even into their 70s. It's one thing to work because you want to and you want to go, you know, be around people. You like to get up in the morning, and that's fantastic. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I see people who are working like fingers to the grindstone all the way to the end, and they don't have to.
That's right. And then I see people that have just retired, they've been with us several years, and the first thing they said is not getting up early.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing they enjoy, not getting up in the mornings.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to get used that you can actually sleep till 8 o'clock.
Oh, I'm sure. You know? I'm sure probably there's times for maybe the first couple of months, I'm guessing, where you know you wake up at 8 and all of a sudden you think, oh my goodness, the alarm didn't go off, I'm late, but I'm retired.
That's right.
and
I know people that, you know, in the computer business especially, lots of times they worked all night
mm-hmm.
or have to get up in the middle of the night because the computers are down.
Yeah.
So once they realize they can sleep, I think it's really different.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm sure they wake up at night during the night thinking, oh, is all the computers on, or without thinking that they're through. They don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it takes a while to get that out of your system.
Right. And then there's people that work because they want to.
Yes.
They're happy. They don't want to go home.
And there's a big difference between working because you want to and because you have to. It's a totally different mindset.
It is. And if you're happy and you're working, then that's great. You like to be around people who are doing what you do.
Yeah.
But a person should have the option to retire early, happy, and wealthy.
And you have to have that money already built up and saved up to be able to do that. Because when you do retire, you don't want to start, you know, slashing your own budget. You don't want to think, well, okay, well, I can retire, but we'll have to, you know, reduce this. We can't go out to dinner as much as we want to. We can't do all that traveling. And so there's sacrifices if you're not properly prepared.
Well, and the people that have to do a reverse mortgage is the worst thing of all.
Oh, yeah.
And I, when people tell me about it, I don't even want to hear about it.
Yeah.
If they're into that, they can't come to us, I guarantee.
Yeah.
We had someone try that. They came and mortgaged their house, done a reverse mortgage, and wanted to invest some money. I go, no, you're going to need every dime of that to get through this world.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've waited too long. They've messed things up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've messed them up and you've already retired, there ain't anything we can do to fix it.
Yeah.
The time to fix all this is while you're still making money, growing money, and getting ready to retire.
And you don't have to have like 40 or 50 years of savings already done. I mean, I think sometimes people think, well, my goodness, I didn't start when I was in my 20s. And so now there's no way I'm in my 30s or in my early 40s. And there's no way I can start now. It's too late. Is that true or is
no,
that
no, they're just getting started.
All right.
If you're 40 or 50 years old, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get started now. And at 70, be able to say, I can do anything I want to do. We can travel. You know, we can go fishing, we can go hunting, you know, or we can go to the Riviera.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a lot of clients right now. They're in Europe.
Really?
They're in Holland. They're looking at the tulips. They're going on those river cruises. I have a lot. They're doing the river cruises.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
And I've got one client that I talked to this week. They're going to the Mediterranean in October.
Really?
And I don't know what the weather's like in the Mediterranean in October. But, you know, we would all think it's getting a little too cool to do that.
Yeah.
But maybe over there it is warmer, and maybe it never, you know, really gets cool in the Mediterranean.
I don't know, but, boy, I'd like to go find out.
You'll go in their place, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
So when it comes to being retiring safely and wealthy and all these things that we talk about, investing your money is really key to growing.
It is.
And you can invest in the stock market, which is really the mainstream thing that most people think about. I'm going to go and I'm going to get a broker and I'm going to invest and this is going to be wonderful. And it doesn't always turn out that way.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes it has bad results. You know, the market is up and down. A lot of people say, well, right now it's up more than it's been in a long time. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But every day it rolls back some, you know. And, of course, we keep having all these tax in Paris, all these other places. And it does affect the market every day. And what goes on in Iran or North Korea affects it.
Yeah.
Our investments are not affected by the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're affected by other things, but not the stock market.
So investing in life insurance policies really is a much safer. There's still risks.
There is risk, yes.
But they're very, very small, especially compared to investing in the stock market.
Well, it will not affect your principal. Now, right. That's the good thing about it. Anything that happens, even with the risk, is not to the principal.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest risk of all is if you buy a life insurance policy of someone that has cancer and they don't die when they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't be right about every policy. Most of the time we are right. You can look at our track record on that. But sometimes they do not pass away when the doctors say they are. So your risk is it could go another 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the only policy you've got, that would be a bad thing, you know. But most of our people are diversified. They have maybe 5-10 policies.
So if one does happen to go over, and it is the rarity,
yes.
But if it does go over, well, you've got some other things to help absorb some of that.
Well, what it is, you've got 4 or 5 other policies, maybe 6. And so 1 out of 6 that you have to wait on is not bad. You're still going to get your profit. You're still going to get your principal back. It's just going to take longer.
Yeah.
So it's not as fast as what you thought it would be. But the others are coming due all the time.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I've never asked you this. I know you don't have the paperwork and you didn't do the research ahead of time, but ballpark figures, what would you say are the percentage of policies that come in either on time or early?
Half of them.
Really?
Yeah, half
That's
of them.
Good.
Yeah, because you can go back the last 3 or 4 years and look it up on the website, and you can see that the ones that come due, 50% of them are on time or early, and 50% are early. And so that helps a lot. So if you've got 50% of yours coming in early, then the ones that are late is not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Okay? You can stand it. And when it's late, that doesn't mean that it's going to change any of the principal or what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get it. It's just not going to be on time. So if you can't afford that, you should not be in this program.
What, on average, and I know each case is different, but on average, when they do go over, how far do they go over?
2 to 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it can go over 2 to 3 years.
And so you have to pay the premiums when that happens.
That's exactly right. And the only one that is long, way long, is that 90-year-old that I talk about all the time.
Yes.
That 90-year-old has not passed away.
How long have you had that policy anyway?
We've had it way, way too long, let me tell you. Oh, my gosh. we made a big mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, when those people sold us that policy, they told us it was going to be short. Of course, they storied. It's not short. A 90-year-old is going to outlive us all.
if you're going strong at 90, you're going to be here for a long time.
And we find out they're old, but they're not sick like we thought they were. Mm-hmm. They were not sick. So we've had that policy a long time. It's not a regular type policy. We know this doesn't happen all the time, and we just want to get out of it.
Yeah.
And get everybody's money back to them.
And when it's clear, you're not doing this ever again.
Never. In fact, someone sent me one this week to look at. It was 84. I threw that thing in the trash to pass. I do not want to ever have another elderly person because they are not sick. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
They're lying. That person is not sick. And, you know.
You know, one of the great things is it's kind of a positive because, you know, you can look at this and we say, you know, if I want to retire at 50 or 60 and you think, my goodness, I'm still healthy and I got all these years. Well, how many years do I have? Cases are you're seeing the results. People have 20, 30, 40, 50 years to go sometimes, especially if they're healthy. So you can literally retire with half of your life left.
That's exactly right. And we usually think people are going to live 25 to 27 years.
Yeah.
But they may live a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
And you do not want to live long in your 90s if you don't have any money, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be 10 years into retirement, and then all of a sudden you realize your account has been
you've depleted that thing. You know, yeah. You do not want that. And you want to go on living till the day you die with plenty of money.
Yeah.
And you don't want the family to say, well, let's just send them off the nursing home, you know. You want to be able to live at home. If you need help in the home, fine, mm-hmm. when you get older. But you do not want to live without being able to call the shots.
Yeah, you want to be able to do those things that we all dream about doing.
Absolutely. And most of the people that I have, they do travel abroad as well as here in the United States. They've been to every state, a lot of them. I have one guy that is retired from the college, and he travels all the time. And what he did, he bought him a travel home, you know, a trailer, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years ago. And he goes everywhere. He's been to every state park, I believe. He's on the road all the time. And he's at one of the national parks, camping out, making friends.
Wow.
I mean, he's got a heck of a life.
Seeing the sights.
And he has a lot of policies with us. And he comes back, we go over the policies, and he leaves sound. That's all they said.
So he blows in long enough to review everything. Okay, I'll put me in this one, this one, this one, this one. I'll see you in 6 months.
That's right. And then he says, do I have anything that's went over? Yes, you've got this one or two. Okay. Do I have enough premiums to pay it? Yes. Okay, I'm gone.
Man, that is how you want to spend your retirement right there.
That's right. And, you know, he's always comfortable. Usually has on shorts, which means he's, you know, in the sun all the time, just having a good time.
Wow.
I mean, it's a heck of a deal.
That's the dream right there.
It is a dream. And how many people can do that? If you've amassed a good amount of money, you can do these things.
Yeah.
And you can have a vacation home. You know, you can have a place in, you know, the snow areas, or you can have a place, you know, on the coast.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stay in Midland. Most of the people that have retired with me have not stayed in Midland, Texas.
Well, there's so much to see. I mean, the world is so huge. You know, we go to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. We don't go the places we want to go. And then when it's finally time for retirement, hey, we've got the freedom to go out and see all these things. Let's go see them.
And most of them are going to places where there's a lake. Everybody hates it out here. There's no lakes. It's just a dry old desert. So they move to places with lakes, mm-hmm. and golf.
Oh, golf.
So, I mean, you can have so much fun. And then some of them go to the coast and live on the waterways. And it's just amazing where all people, and I've got people that have retired to Montana.
Really?
That's a long way.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't imagine anybody would go up there.
No, that's very different. That's rather isolated if
it's
you get to the
isolated,
ranch.
Yeah, and but they have hunting and they have snow and you know, you can ski and things like that.
Wow.
But I cannot imagine that you would go to the mountains like that if you've lived in the desert.
It's about the opposite of
it is really the opposite. So the things people do when they retire are different.
Yeah. And the possibilities are endless.
And they go where the water's good and you can drink it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few things here that are just not real great.
Yeah. There are very few, but there's every place has its ups and downs, though. So we know that investing in life insurance policies, risk number one is that it can go over.
It can go over. You have to be prepared for it. You have to have the money where that if you don't get that money right away, it won't hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then the other thing, it's not liquid. If you need liquidity in the next 2 years, that particular policy will not be liquid. It's not liquid till that person passes away. So it may be a two-year deal. You know, and if that's all the money you've got in the world, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to have enough money to live on. And you go, you know, research everybody in their situation and what money they have where to make sure that this is not just a paycheck for them and they can afford to do this. what are some of the things that what do you see people come in and like as far as getting close to that line? What do you see? I mean,
well, our people, when they come in, they've got $300,000 or $400,000 minimum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, and they've got old 401ks that we're moving.
Mm-hmm.
They've started a new 401k, which is fine. And they may have IRAs in addition to that. And then the wife has probably got an IRA or a 401. So we're usually just moving the husbands to start with.
Okay.
And then we've got the group here in town that have been coming over that their company has just sold. And as I said, I've told this story. None of them knew that the others were with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out that several of them had investments with us, had made good money. And the others said, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you share? I believe was the exact words.
Yeah. Share all the wealth.
Yes. And if they'd have shared, they could have invested 2 or 3 years ago, but they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done real well. So they did finally tell some of the people, and now they're all coming over to see us.
And that's really a lot of how you get new clients is by referrals.
It is. And we do more referrals than anything. Everybody tells somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps. And they tell their father, their mother, their cousins. You know, everybody does tell somebody else.
So if you need this as a paycheck, this is not the thing. There are other avenues. Go ahead and explore those. But you've got to have a certain amount of money to invest in, at least to get started. With.
That's
what's
right.
The minimum?
So you've got to have $100,000 to start.
Okay.
And you need to have, there's two or three other things. You need to have income of $200,000 or $1 million without your house.
Okay.
You've got in assets.
And that includes everything.
Yes, it can include your rent property, your retirement. You know, some people came to me this week, and they said, well, we've got $500,000 here, and they named some other things. But they forgot. They were also given a pension.
Mm-hmm.
So this pension is worth probably $500,000 in addition to all the assets they gave. And, of course, they had the income to qualify. Their income per year was $230,000 without bonuses. So you have to think, what all do I have? Do I have rent property? Do I have a ranch? Do I have farm equipment? You know, do I have mineral leases? And those mineral leases are worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are selling those right now. So, you know, it is something that's worth a lot of money.
So do you find, so for somebody who's listening right now and they're thinking and their interest is peaked and they're not really sure, well, I think, but I've only got this. Do you find a lot of people come in and think that they don't have enough assets to
sometimes
do this?
Sometimes they don't know till they get there and we add it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes they'll forget the 401k.
Yeah.
And that's a big asset.
Yeah.
And but they'll think about the old ones, but they forget that they have the other one also. Or they'll give me IRAs, they'll give me all this other, as I said, like rent property and oil leases, but then they forget about the 401k. They don't realize that's also liquid.
So all of that gets rolled into a thing. You do a big tally, and you say, okay, here's where you are. These are your assets. This is what you're worth. This is your income. What happens when people don't qualify?
Okay, they can do annuities. Annuities, you don't have to have near as much money. Annuities are like $15,000 to $20,000 mm-hmm. that you can start with. And as you know, annuities have been around 145 years.
Yeah.
And we recommend Midland National Life because they're an old, old company in Iowa. And I like the way they pay. At the end of the term, they give you lump sum. When you die, you're going to get lump sum. There's no ifs or ands about it. Some of the other life insurance companies that we have represented even, you have to take a five-year payout in order to get all your bonuses back, not with Midland National. Whatever they tell you, you pass away, you get the money. That's just real simple.
Okay.
And it pays pretty good interest. It's guaranteed from the day you put it in to the day you take it out. It's all tax deferred.
So it's a good starting point.
It's a good starting point for those, as you said, that are not going to qualify for our other programs.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, these are huge companies. That are rated A and AAA. And every once in a while, you ask me the question, what kind of companies, life insurance companies, do we require that we're going to buy the policy? They have to be A rated or better. And yesterday, we found out that one of the companies we were just about to buy a policy, they had slipped to a B.
Really?
Yes.
Does that happen often?
No. It's the first time I've seen it happen in years. But we did look at it. We looked it up. And so we could not do the policy because we were afraid, you know, they might not be able to pay.
What would cause a company to slip from an A to a B?
Something they've done, you know, and I don't know what they had done. But the companies had said it's now B rated, and they said that it could get worse.
Oh!
Once they say that, we're out.
Yeah.
Count us out.
No, no, even second look, third look. No, that's it. We're pulling
we're
the
not.
Plug.
That's right, because they have to have an A or A plus rating, which means their liquidity is perfect. They have the money to pay all their debts. If all these policies came due at one time, they're there.
So you're dealing with solid companies. People don't have to worry about, oh, my goodness, I'll have to sacrifice and take 50 cents on the
no.
dollar.
No. These are all the biggest life insurance companies in America.
Okay.
And they're all worth billions and billions.
The last thing you want to do is have a policy come due and nobody can get paid.
That's right. And then we don't want that to happen. But even if one ever did crash, mm-hmm. the other thing is that they have it set up where another life insurance company would always buy them because of the premium income. The income on these companies is tremendous.
Yeah.
But they have to put up more than a bank does. A bank isn't required to put up hardly anything.
Really?
But they are. They have to put up enough assets that they could liquidate every policy if they had to at one time.
So they are even more solid than a financial institution.
They really are.
Like that.
Because the regulations are so tough on them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
It is. They have tough regulations.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
The website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. We were talking about investing in life insurance policies. We know so far that the number one risk is that the policy could go over.
That's right.
And then there's more besides the first two.
Well,
there's three.
There's three. And the one was the life insurance company.
The life, right.
Yeah. But the middle one is it's not liquid, and most people know that without asking. But every once in a while, somebody would be sitting there, they'll say, that means if I need some cash, I could not get to it. I said, absolutely right.
So are there things that people say when they come down and sit down and talk to you for the first time that make you start to send up any red flags and say, uh-oh, this person isn't qualified? And you do this just to protect them, not to just be a mean person.
No, we want to protect them from themselves.
Yeah.
And usually before they come, we've asked a lot of those questions.
Okay. So if somebody says, you know, maybe the initial phone call, okay, if I you know, sell this property, can I, you know, will that be enough? Or if I borrow some, will that cover it?
No, we're not. We don't hear about that borrowing. If they have to borrow to do it, they are not qualified and they cannot do it.
Okay.
I had a gentleman this week was very, very anxious to come in.
Mm.
And I said, okay, let's talk about how much cash do you have on hand? Because I know he owns his own company. And he didn't have enough. And I said, you know, I know you've got a lot of assets, but they're not liquid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he couldn't do it. And so you have to have at least $100,000. I don't care how many assets you've got. You could have $5 million in assets. But you have to have that minimum investment of 100.
And you do this, it's to protect people, because the ultimate goal is to be able to make money to retire. And you don't want to be into a situation where all of a sudden, hey, I need some money. Where can I get it? My assets aren't liquid. Let me see if I can cash in this life insurance policy that I've invested in. That's not going to happen. And then people are oftentimes in worse shape. So you're here to really protect people and help them.
That's right. We want to protect them from themselves and help them to make money and retire early.
Okay.
And most people it works for.
So we know the three risks, which are really, when you add them all up, are much less of a risk than the stock market, because you could wake up any time. You could wake up tomorrow morning and all of a sudden the whole bottom has fallen out of the stock market and everything is gone in literally overnight.
Well, and what can happen, it doesn't happen very often, but a company that's listed that's $100 a share, it might go to $10.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen that happen a lot in the last 4 or 5 years. And then we've seen some that have been delisted. Mm-hmm. And, my gosh, what a loss that would be.
At that point, you're wiped out.
You're wiped out. And, you know, in 08, a lot of people were wiped out. And I talked to a gentleman this week. He said, Faye, I've got $500,000 now. He said, I had a $900,000 several years ago.
Wow. He said, he's lost half.
He's lost half. And he said, it's taken me a long time to get over it, to realize it's really gone. And it can happen in the stock market. Doesn't happen real often. But when it does, you know, it's for real. Yeah. You've lost it and it isn't coming back.
And it could happen without warning.
It can.
And with things going on around the world, I mean, things like what's going on, you know, overseas, you know, between Russia and North Korea and God knows what else that we don't even know about. Those things affect the stock market, and things are real shaky right now. So things could go either way in a heartbeat. That's not going to happen with life insurance policies. These are completely separate, have absolutely nothing to do with the stock market or worldly events or anything.
That's right. When these people bought this life insurance, they've paid the premiums on them. They're current with their premiums. They just need to sell the policy. They need the cash. And this week, we closed on a lot of policies. And then a lot of policies were not quite ready to close on. And when I looked at those that were not quite ready, it was people that, you know, like the lady that originally from the Philippines, you know, she has to have a beneficiary over here in the United States, not a beneficiary in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Because when this policy comes due, we want to know about it. And we have to have somebody in the States that's going to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we made those arrangements, made them change it.
So how many policies are ready to go right now for people to invest in?
We've probably got four.
Okay.
That are ready. We've been doing policies all week, and we're behind on getting them out, but we're trying to get them out as fast as possible. And we still have people that we're trying to get to. You know, almost everybody has got some money invested, but we've still got some more to do. And two of those big policies that matured, the money went in their accounts this week.
Oh, really?
Yes. So there's another $3 million in money in the bank this week for people.
So when you say you have about four policies ready to go right now, mm-hmm. how many slots is that? Because I know one person doesn't invest in a whole policy. You break it up among several people.
We'll probably have places for 10, 15 more people.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll probably try to get those out.
So what about bids?
Bids, oh my gosh, I bid a lot of policies a week. I turned a lot down this week. I don't usually turn that many down.
Really?
But I did. As I said, there was one on the man that's 84 years old.
He's old. He ain't sick.
He ain't sick, and he ain't coming my way, let me tell you. I've had it. I'm not doing that. And then there was some that had went in remission. And if it's in remission, yes, they still have it. It's in the genes. It's in their body. But they're not going to die for probably 3 or 4 more years.
And these are policies that are available. They came across your desk. You looked at them and decided not to bid on them.
I did. I said, you know, if it's in remission, I can't handle it. How do I explain that? Yeah. You know, it needs to be current. And lots of times they'll do clinical trials. Well, mm-hmm. that'll delay their death maybe 9 months.
Yeah.
It ain't going to cure them, though. You know? Because the clinical trial stuff is things that are not even approved yet in America.
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeing if it does any good.
It's an experiment.
It's an experiment.
Which is very different than, you know, trying some kind of alternative, like the broccoli diet to try and cure everything.
And I did buy a couple of those this week. you know, they wouldn't let them operate on their body, no chemo, no radiation. They've been in Mexico doing their thing.
So when somebody says, when you see a policy and the treatment that they're doing is they've gone someplace to drink special spring water.
Yes.
Those are the ones you jump all over.
I do, because I know they're not going to make it. It's unfortunate, but their mind is in the wrong place.
Yeah.
If they'd had chemo and radiation, then done that, I'd have said, okay. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to do surgery, and that's a bad deal because that thing is growing while you're talking.
Yeah.
So, the ones that have been to Mexico lately or to France, whoever, where they went, those are the ones I bought this week.
Okay. So, and when will they be ready to invest in?
Now those will be probably 3 weeks.
Okay.
But the others are ready now.
So there's always policies that are either maturing, paying out, that you're bidding on, or that are ready to go at any time.
That's right. And sometimes it's 2 weeks in between or three, mm-hmm. When we're trying to get the final contracts, because it takes time. Because lots of times they'll go back and try to get more money from somebody else, which really tears it. You spend all this time and work on it. You've worked up the bid, and then they go, well, I think I'll see if I can get a higher bid.
Trying to play hardball.
And then it comes back 3 months later, nobody bought their policy.
Mm-hmm.
Then they want me to take it.
Yeah, and then you say.
Then I say lots of times, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. You missed your chance.
I've wasted a lot of time on them.
Well, yeah, and if you end up doing it again, you go through the process, and then you've wasted countless hours putting these bids together, and then just to go through that again when you could be doing something more productive.
Well, remember in November, we filled two big policies.
Mm-hmm.
15 days later, they changed their mind.
Yep.
After we'd done all the work, everybody'd gotten the policy, they loved them, and they changed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were going to die quicker and that they'd get more money.
Yeah.
I don't know if that happened or not.
And so then now you've got investors who are invested in a policy that they can't invest in. So then you have to divert them into others.
Yeah. And then we have to tell them the sad news. Well, I'm sorry. You're not going to be in that policy. So it rescinded.
I assume you don't do that anymore.
No. We told them that's a no-no. But if you remember Medcalf was one I had a hard time filling. Everybody didn't think it was a very good policy. That's the one I told you about that I got in.
Yeah.
And put $175,000 in it.
Uh-huh.
And so people started coming back, got in it with me, and they rescinded, and the man died 2 months later.
Wow.
So it would have been really good if I could have went ahead with that one.
Right.
But he did go ahead and die. And apparently family figured that out, that he was really too sick to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he did die.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you bring all kinds of fascinating information. Some of it, I don't quite know where you get it. Some of it, I think you make up. No, you don't make anything up.
I could.
You could. I would never know.
I'm capable of that.
So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about a ranch in way, way north Texas.
Really?
Yes. The XIT Ranch, one of the most famous ranches anywhere in Texas.
All right.
And it was a long, long time ago. The XIT was 3 million acres.
Really?
Can you comprehend that?
No, that's like the state of Wyoming.
It's in 10 counties.
Really?
10 counties. 200 miles long.
Wow.
200 miles.
That's amazing. I can't even, that's one piece of property.
One piece of property. It was in business from 1885 to 1912.
Wow.
It was owned by Englishmen.
Uh-huh.
They lived in New York. They were from England. They put a consortium together. Now, this is in the 1800s and had all these investors. And they bought the XIT way back then. And, of course, they had a lot of funny ideas. But it ran 200 miles along the border with New Mexico. It was 20 to 30 miles wide. 10 counties. It had 150,000 head of cattle on it.
That's unheard of.
It's unheard of. Nobody can even comprehend it.
My jaw is literally on the floor.
But let me tell you what happened. In 1879, I'll bet nobody remembers this, except in Austin, they probably do. The 16th Texas legislature appropriated the 3 million acres to finance a new state capital in Texas.
Mm.
In 1882, in a special session, the 17th Texas Legislature struck a bargain with Claude and John Farwell of Chicago, Illinois, under which the syndicate, led by the Farwells, and they, as I said, they're all British, agreed to build a new Texas state capital and to accept the 3 million acres of panhandle land as payment.
Really?
That's how it happened.
So that's how we got the
That's the how panhandle. We got the Texas capital.
Wow.
This land was traded for the Texas capital.
How cool is that?
Is that something? The rich ranch all across Dallam County, Hartley, Oldham, Deaf Smith, Palmer, Castro, Bailey, Lamb, Cochran, and Hockley counties.
Wow.
The ranch started in 1885, as I said, with 150,000 head of cattle being operated. It was 1,500 miles of fencing.
I can't even imagine having to put that much fence in.
They had 325 windmills, 100 dams for water. It helped perpetuate the myth that the XIT stood for 10 in Texas, but it wasn't. It was the brand was to thwart the rustlers that were trying to rustle the cattle and rebrand it.
Really?
The XIT was so famous. The timing, however, was bad. Cattle prices dropped in 1886 and 1887, and they weren't making any money. So they were unable to sell the cattle and get their profit. And these Englishmen needed it. So the ranch operated those years without showing any profit, and they were plagued by wolves. The wolves were eating them.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop that. And they had a lot of rules. Now, this shows how English these guys really were. You couldn't carry arms.
What?
Yeah, and every other ranch in the world, they all had guns on at all times, but not them.
That's crazy.
They couldn't drink alcohol. Now, all these old cowboys drank. There was no gambling or card playing.
Well, now, what is there?
That's what I thought. What in the heck is left?
There's nothing left.
That's right. And in the 1800s, they're in Chicago. I'll bet they were playing cards and drinking.
They had to get through it. That's what happens when you get old English people coming over here and start doing things like this.
That's that. They weren't allowed to own any livestock. What? Couldn't own anything. Your horses, you couldn't have your own personal property, horses. You couldn't hunt game. I mean, they had rules that were just ridiculous.
Do they know how this works?
I don't think they knew about Texas.
No.
And the XIT is right outside of Dalhart, Texas.
Wow.
And everybody in Dalhart has celebrated the XIT all these years.
Uh-huh.
And one thing they have put an empty saddle and built a monument to the cowboys of the 1800s.
Really? How cool.
In Dalhart. I mean, it is really cool that
wow.
they did this. So Dalhart, every year, has the XIT rodeo. They have a museum, an XIT museum. Everything is about the XIT out there.
Wow. I need to go to this.
It is really a famous place. And, of course, Dalhart was in the center of the Dust Bowl years ago. And it was affected by long periods of drought, dust storms, the Depression of 33.
Mm-hmm.
And they operated a $1 million they spent on claims. And this guy said that he could take a fire rocket and he was going to put these explosives in the clouds and cause rain. This old guy was run out of town. He stole everybody's money during the Depression out in Dalhart.
Wow.
But they did have somebody famous out there.
Okay.
James R. Fox, 1919 to 1943. He flew supplies to China for Pan American Airways. Can you imagine? And it was a joint deal with the Chinese and an American company. During World War II, they flew through that treacherous hump route. You know, you heard about that, the hump route over China. It was so dangerous. Those mountains were so horrible.
Oh, okay. All right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And him and two Chinese co-pilots were killed back then.
Oh, really?
And in 2002, the people of China sent a monument to them over to Dalhart.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how cool is that?
See, a lot of stuff has happened out there that's really famous.
Yeah.
And XIT is the most famous ranch in the world.
I did not know about any of that.
But can you imagine these Englishmen owning it? You couldn't play cards. You couldn't drink.
Those rules. Who came up with those rules?
The Englishmen.
Why?
Because
I demand an answer.
You demand an answer. Well, they're dumb. I mean,
no other way to explain it, right?
There's just no other way. But every year they celebrate the famous ranch out there in Dalhart. And the Cowboys, who were so famous, and the Cowboys' relatives wanted that empty saddle on there. And I think that's pretty neat.
That is really cool.
But can you imagine that land was traded for the people to build the Texas State Capitol?
Man, I had no idea.
That's really famous.
It really is cool.
And how many people even know that or remember it?
Exactly.
I mean, it happened so long ago, 1887.
So now when you go visit, you have a whole different perspective on it.
You really do, as to how it got there.
Yeah.
They traded 3 million acres of land.
It's an awful lot of land.
It's a lot of land.
Wow.
And, you know, they weren't making any profit, and so they started right there at the last selling parcels off to other ranchers.
Wow.
They had to. They didn't have a choice.
They were going under fast.
And one of the famous families over in Childress bought a lot of that land.
Really?
Yes. And her story is great. We've told her story, how she owns all that land over there in Childress and made all those cattle famous of hers with her breeding programs.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing people. The old ranchers were one of a kind.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't see anybody for months at a time.
Oh, yeah, because your place is so huge and so isolated and so out there.
And can you imagine when the snow came, and Dalhart is so far, it's closer to Santa Fe, New Mexico than it is Austin.
Is it really?
It's closer to all these other states and cities in other states than it is Austin, Texas. So that's how far away Dalhart is. Dalhart is in the top of the panhandle.
Yeah.
Way up north.
And that's still how they ended up with the capital. And I mean, that's just so fascinating. You know, you don't find as really anywhere land that is so rich and worth so much as you do right here in Texas.
I know. And the ranchers are all big here. And you remember we did that story of that land up there on the other side of Childress. And they finally got, what was it, 23, 26 million for that land.
Yeah.
And it's a huge property also.
Yeah.
And those people had fought over that. The heirs had fought for years. Couldn't get along.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what our heritage in Texas really is.
It really is. And, you know, to build these monuments and have all these things in remembrance and to honor, you know, the heritage of Texas is really what makes this state so much special as opposed to many other states.
It's unique.
They've got festivals and things here and there, but Texas really does honor their heritage very, very well.
They really
do.
Better
than anybody.
And not only that, their military here is really, really special.
Yeah.
And everybody does a lot for the military here and remembers them, which in other states, you know, I think they don't even care about the military. It doesn't seem to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have their parades and things, but it seems like it's very, very deep-rooted in the soul of Texas.
It is. And the first settlers and first ranchers, you know, they remember them every year. And Dalhart does have a lot of special deals. They have free barbecue when they have their XIT deal, all kinds of things. To celebrate the ranches and the XIT and all the businesses, even they all want to have their name with the XIT.
Yeah, and it's so important to keep this rich heritage alive too.
It is, and it's a small town, you know, 7,000 people, and they have a couple of banks.
I feel a road trip coming on.
There you go. Hey, you could go to something in Texas every week.
Oh, you could, and still not even, you know, touch the tip of the iceberg.
That's right. And there's somebody famous in almost every little town. Do you realize that?
Yeah, I'm starting to, yeah.
Yeah, every little town has something famous that happened there. Mm-hmm. If it was nothing but Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody famous there.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, really cool historical stories.
And the smaller towns have the most famous people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done a lot of stories about people in Childress, different places. They had some really famous people that lived there. Nobody ever knew they even lived there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, our Texas heritage is an ongoing thing.
It absolutely is. It never dies.
Never dies.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877 877- 588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And, of course, the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find case studies, data from past investments. You can read testimonials. You can see what kind of money people have made. And they have made a lot of money. Just, I'm going to throw this out there. Just randomly put a ballpark figure on how much people in total made in investments in 2016.
$27 million.
$27 million?
Was returned. $27 million was returned to investors in 16.
That is a lot of money, and that's a lot of pieces of pie for
and
people.
And it's on the website.
Yeah.
You know, we always have all that on the website. And I don't know if they've got all of 17 up yet. I'd like to see it because we've had 8 policies mature in 17, 4 in March.
And I know from talking about, you know, the past trends that it's a little bit more aggressive this early in the year as it has been in past years. So we're off to a really fantastic start.
I think we are, too, and I think we're way ahead for last year. Mm-hmm. I believe we are.
So there's a lot of money to be made. Now, I'm sure there's one question that, especially if people are listening for the first time, they may be wondering where these policies come from.
Okay, they come from everywhere. We have no control over that. The licensed providers that we use bring those policies to us. They send them to us every day and say, Faye, here is a life expectancy. What do you think? Are you interested in it? Do you want to buy it? Mm-hmm. And we are buying these every day.
How many people are you up against on average when you're bidding on these?
I think 5.
Okay.
There's only about 5, and 2 of them are big. The rest are small.
So we're not talking about hundreds and thousands.
Oh, no, no.
All right, so
there's only 5 big companies that do this.
Okay.
And we're one of the big 5 because we have more money than the others.
And that's important.
It is, because if you don't have the money, you can't bid them.
You got to get those good policies.
And, you know, we keep 10 to 15 million mm-hmm. in the bank to buy policies.
So there's always money flowing.
We have the money.
Yeah.
No, it's just lots of times I have to turn them down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm bidding on a big policy right now. Don't know if we'll even get it.
Uh-huh.
But we've just bid on a $4 million one. Don't know if we'll get it. But we, you know, we bid what we thought it was worth and what the clients have to make.
And the money is there to back all this up.
The money's there.
Fantastic.
We close as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Once they sign the agreements and the policies are changed over, you know, to our escrow agent, we're ready to close right then. We can do it that day.
Mm-hmm.
We can pay them right then.
And turnaround, once a policy matures to when people actually get their money in their account, how
yes.
long is that on average?
It's usually about 6 weeks because we have to get the certified death certificate. And then once that's sent in, they pay within 2 weeks.
So it's a very quick process.
Yes. Now, Bank of Utah is not as quick about putting it in their accounts as Nevada Trust is.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hold that money for 4 or 5 days, even though they've got it in their account.
Yeah.
And then they'll put it in ours. But Nevada Trust puts it in right away.
What age is too old to get started?
About 80.
Okay. So most people who are listening right now are well in range. It's
yes.
not too late to get started. There's plenty of pieces of pie for everybody. Everybody can get involved. What are some of the 3 things that what are the biggest things people need to do right now to get started?
Well, they need to make that appointment. Call, make an appointment first. Let's see if this fits, if it's mm-hmm. right for them. We need to see what they're worth. We need to see where it's at now. We need a statement. Always bring that statement with you. We have to have that statement in order to see what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have to do a transfer for them. Have to set up a new account for them. So there's a lot of pieces to this once we decide whether they're going to do this or not. And we won't know till we look at everything and see what their situation is.
If they say
they're going to need the money next year, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, no. Because it's not liquid. You cannot get to it. So for somebody who's brand new, never invested before, doesn't have an account, comes in, how long roughly would you say it might take to get them actually invested in their first policy?
Probably 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, that's so fast.
Yeah, it is.
That is fantastic. And to make the phone number, to make the appointment one last time, what is that phone number?
877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.